Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
We've all paid the price for lenders who sold mortgages to people who couldn't afford them, and buyers who knew they couldn't afford them. That's why we need smart regulations to prevent irresponsible behavior.
President Obama, again from the State of the Union address. And listeners, what did you make of Eric Schneiderman on our show just now as he gets ready to chair that mortgage fraud working group? Our lines are full. A lot of you want to talk about this. We'll take a lot of calls. We'll talk to Gretchen Morgenson, New York Times business columnist, also author of the book on the crisis, Reckless Endangerment. Hi, Gretchen. Welcome back to WNYC.
How are you, Brian?
Good, thank you. And listeners, you can post on our website at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show, since all our lines are full. Also, maybe a conversation will break out on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter, Brian Lehrer on Twitter, and you can tweet at us on this and talk to each other that way as well. So were you listening? Any quick reaction to what you just heard from Attorney General Eric Schneiderman?
Well, I think, you know, what he basically was saying, Brian, was give us a few, weeks, months, and we are going to show you that we are actually going to produce some, you know, scalps, whatever you want to call it, in this investigation. You know, I think that a lot of us are in the show-me state, the state of Missouri. We have been waiting for some kind of accountability. It has been long in coming. You know, so I think there is some skepticism, but, you know, his points are well taken, that he does have a far broader array of ammunition and resources to go after this problem if the statute of limitations issue has not created too many problems.
What about the politics of that timing, though? If you and others who have wanted the government to be tough on this are in the show-me state because not much has happened in in the first 3 years of the Obama administration. If someone is a Wall Street executive, why shouldn't he think the politics of this moment will tilt justice toward being unfair to him?
Well, I think that there is no doubt that this was a response to the outcry that you've seen across the country for really more than a year. People have been, I said, waiting for this, and yet nothing has come about. So, you know, I do think that there is a political element here. I don't think that we can pretend that there isn't. Now, that said, I think it makes his job that much tougher, and it makes the skeptics out there willing to wait less, you know, long for some action and some productive results.
And here's a little bit of what Attorney General Schneiderman said when I asked him if the issues and the movement of Occupy Wall Street are drawing this group. And we'll get to that in just a second. We have it? Okay, let's hear the clip.
We lost $7.4 trillion in home equity over the last 5 years as a result of the misconduct that, you know, that blew up the American economy. That's where the wealth of the middle class was. You want to know where the huge increased gap between the rich and the middle class came from? That's a big reason.
Let's take a call. Let's see. Actually, we're not quite ready to take a call. Gretchen.
Yes.
Do you think there's a smoking gun type document still left to be uncovered? I'm looking at Politico this morning, and it has a headline, Chances for a Big Name Perp Walk Low.
You know, is there a smoking gun out there? I think there are probably many of them. And again, as I pointed out in my article on Sunday, a lot of work has been done by, you know, private institutions that have suffered losses and have sued these banks and done a tremendous amount of discovery and pawed through all kinds of documents. I think it's there. I think it's evident. I think that you will find that there was a real disregard for clients, a rush to pour toxic securities into the public markets before the game ended, before the music stopped. So I don't think that there's going to be any real problem finding these kinds of emails, documents, conversations, it's making a criminal case, which is very difficult because you have to prove that there was intent, and that is a very difficult thing to prove.
Neil in East Meadow, you're on WNYC. Thanks for calling in.
I can't deny, of course, that it's slightly political, but at the same time, I think President Obama chose to concentrate on what was most important in the beginning of his term, and now it's, he's laid the base, and now is the time to put on the gravy.
Gretchen, do you agree with that?
My feeling is that he made a number of bad decisions with his economic policymakers early on. There were tremendous opportunities for him, I think, to let people know that he did not own this crisis. But by hiring some of the very people who were centrally involved in the regulatory failures, I think really sent a bad message to the public. The other thing that I think he failed at early on was to do anything at all for homeowners. There were, programs were rolled out, modification programs for troubled borrowers that were really just so badly designed that they never took off and never helped that many people. So there was a lot of false starts. There was a lot of badly designed programs. So I think it's more than that he just got his ducks lined up. There were some opportunities that were really missed.
Ryan in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hello, Ryan.
How you doing?
Good. What do you want to say?
I just wanted to comment on the housing bubble, and it just shows how much bureaucracy the government, how many layers of bureaucracy the government has. People predicted the housing bubble back in 2001, 2002. If you Google housing bubble crisis, Peter Schiff or even Ron Paul, they both predicted these things. It's not that big of a secret. Was my only comment.
It's true. Some people did, but. Does that mean what? And in terms of the current moment, does it mean there might not have been some criminal fraud once the thing really took off to incredible proportions in 2004, 2005, 2006?
Oh, I don't doubt for one second that there's a large criminal aspect involved in this. I believe that there were people that committed fraud, and those people should definitely go to jail. But I also believe that the government helped exacerbate the problem. And we were at historic highs of home ownership in this country. Up until that point, there had been a pretty much a steady line of home ownership, and home prices went up at a steady rate. And if you look at the trend line, it actually starts to jump off the charts. In 2001, during our supposed recession, we had more homes sold and cars sold during that time period up until that point in history.
Ryan, thank you. And I'll ask Gretchen about that. Gretchen Morgenson, in your book, Reckless Endangerment, about the origins of the crisis, how much do you point a finger at Fannie and Freddie? And were you satisfied with Attorney General Schneiderman's response to my question on that? And, he basically just said it's a lie that Fannie and Freddie had to do with this.
Well, I think that we both agree. Fannie and Freddie really played a very important integral role in the expansion of home ownership early on in the 90s, throughout the 90s. And they really started to balloon their balance sheets at that point in time. He is correct to say that the investment banks were the ones who were peddling the really toxic securities at the end of the line, 2004, 5, and 6. But Fannie and Freddie were very much involved at that point as well, because they were seeing their potential profits being stolen away by private label securitizations, issued by companies like Countrywide and others. So there was a combination here. I think that the thing that we are sometimes missing is that as the government was promoting home ownership, which is a noble cause, they were doing nothing to rein in the kinds of really poisonous practices that wound up hurting the very people they were trying to help become homeowners. It is a really ugly paradox of this crisis and the aftermath, that the very people we were supposed to help, immigrants, first-time home buyers, lower-income people, are the ones who have been hurt the most by the foreclosure crisis.
What do you think of the NPR ProPublica story in the last few days that says Fannie and Freddie is currently betting on foreclosures and basically, you know, trying to profit from them while in theory helping homeowners?
That was just a story about Freddie Mac. It did not involve Fannie Mae. Just to clarify, I think that it's a very intriguing and disturbing story, but the fact that only $5 billion of Freddie Mac's $650 billion portfolio is involved in these kinds of bets makes me, you know, wonder about the significance of it. It's certainly not something that you want to see them do at all, but it is not a huge portion of their portfolio, as my colleague Shyla Dewan reported today in our paper.
Anna Wem and Elizabeth, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Hi. I just wanted to comment that I liked most of what the Attorney General had to say, but I thought he was a little bit too generous in saying that the rating agencies were asleep at the wheel. It seems to me that either they knew that there were subprime mortgages in the financial packages and lied about it, or they didn't know that they were in the packages and in that case also lied about it if they gave them AAA ratings.
Gretchen, what do you think?
Well, this is the question that I get everywhere I go, and the immense frustration that people feel because the ratings agencies' conflicts and problems and incompetence during the bubble have not been addressed. There has really been nothing done to curtail their power. In fact, they have even more power because, as we saw when they cut the United States rating last summer, you know, it was a cause celeb and created a lot of consternation. This is a huge problem that has not been addressed. I agree completely with your caller. There has not been enough done or even talked about this issue, and that's a failing.
So now they're downgrading Europe and the United States to make themselves look tough, or you think those are legitimate ratings?
I don't know. I mean, how can you believe these institutions when they got the mortgage securities so dreadfully wrong? It's very difficult to have any trust at all.
I want to play one more clip of Eric Schneiderman from the interview that we just did when I asked him about some banking analyst's projection that it would make it harder for the banks to come to an agreement with the state attorneys general on more foreclosure relief for homeowners now underwater, because this task force will mean that they're going to be subject to more lawsuits, more penalties, more fines, and so they may feel that they have to hoard their capital more, so they're not going to be as generous with refinancing these mortgages. Here was his response.
It's not like the banks have walked away from the table. My colleagues and I are involved in negotiations about getting possibly getting relief in the interim before my working group even is able to complete its investigation. So I don't, you know, I don't buy it. If the banks want to posture that way for negotiation purposes, they can, but I don't think that's the reality.
What do you think, Gretchen? Posturing for negotiation purposes, or is this actually going to make it tougher to get imminent relief for homeowners underwater in that deal?
I think that it is posturing mostly. Now, keep in mind, Brian, that in that deal, the banks would be given credits. It's not that they have to outlay the $25 billion number that we've seen bandied about. It would be not cash that they have to put forward. They just would have to. They would receive credits for writing down loans among troubled borrowers. But you know, I think this is just the last in a long line of attempts by the banks to try to get the best deal they can. And you know, I agree with the Attorney General. I think that the deal has to come. It will provide some relief, but it certainly won't provide as much as we need because Fannie and Freddie are not involved in the negotiations.
All right. Listeners, keep this conversation going on our webpage, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show or follow me on Twitter and keep it going at Brian Lehrer. and Gretchen Morgenson, New York Times columnist, on the business pages and author of the book Reckless Endangerment about the financial crisis. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Brian.
And we'll see what Eric Schneiderman and his colleagues get accomplished in that new working group as this year goes on. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, David Sheffer, who was known as the ambassador to hell, on his new memoir about being the first U.S. ambassador to a war crimes tribunal. Stay with us.